Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today on University Matters a bevy of students and a professor. The professor is Joanne Cassar, who's head of department of the built heritage from the Faculty for the Built Environment. She's also project leader in Malta for a project with the acronym ELAIC, and that is really why she's here today with participating students. Welcome to you all. Professor Cassar, perhaps it would be best to introduce the project as such.
This project, which is called ELAIC, which means Educational Linkage Approach in Cultural Heritage, was the brainchild of a colleague of ours in the Technion University in Israel. And it is aimed at raising awareness in cultural heritage amongst youth, and particularly raising awareness on the conservation of cultural heritage. This is based on a series of courses, a number of which have already taken place, one of which is taking place in Malta at present, and that is why we've got some students with us today. The course is aimed at 16, 17-year-olds, and when we were first approached and asked about participating, I immediately thought of the Systems of Knowledge project, which happens every year in Malta. We contacted some colleagues of ours at the junior college. We spoke to the principal, vice principal, and also the coordinator of Systems of Knowledge, Mr. Gravina, who has been thoroughly helpful all along. And the idea caught on, so with the enthusiasm also of all the lecturers in Systems of Knowledge, we decided to ask the students whether they would want to participate purely on a voluntary basis. So we informed them that this would be a course which would be beyond their school hours. Usually it's on a Wednesday afternoon and on a Saturday morning. And we also told them that they would have activities, they would have lectures. So, okay, so how do you recruit students from the junior college? So the project assistant, who is Ms. Roberta De Angelis, thought of designing a leaflet, which we gave to the Systems of Knowledge lecturers, who passed it on to their students at the junior college. Now, I must say that the course has been run already in Israel and in Athens, where we decided to have 15 students. We sent out the leaflets to the junior college and got 80 applicants.
So this brochure, which I have in front of me, was a great success.
It was a huge success, and it also created a dilemma.
How do you choose them?
How do you choose them? So we said, okay, let's put the onus on them first. We had a meeting with the students, and we asked them to write half a page on why they want to join the course. 30 students wrote in. They wrote very, very good write-ups. They were extremely enthusiastic. So we said, okay, let's expand the course, and we actually accepted all 30 students.
Wow, so that went over the top of your original plans.
Way over, it was double. But we thought we could recruit other colleagues to help us, because at first it was going to be Roberta and myself. We were very happy to recruit one of my master's students, who is a youth leader, has been a youth leader for years. She is Janice Borch, and she's also proving to be very, very helpful, very enthusiastic. And I think she knows how to approach the students, I hope.
You mentioned partners, obviously, in this, and we were not the initiators of this particular project. Who are the other partners apart from Israel?
Okay, so the project coordinator is the Technion in Israel, and the other partners, beside the University of Malta, there is the University of Ca' Foscari in Venice, the University of Athens, and the University of Antwerp. These are all, the participating partners are all conservation scientists, And the idea is to talk about conservation and awareness, not of, obviously, this is a 35-hour course. So in 35 hours, you do not create a conservator, but we hope, Alexandra agrees, but we hope to create enough awareness which can then be passed on to family members, to colleagues, and hopefully we'll recruit somebody to also take up conservation.
As a profession.
And as a profession.
Right. So, in fact, I was looking on the website, looking at the aims of the course. The project aims to create awareness amongst young people of the problems of conservation.
Yes, the problems and some solutions which do exist. What is important is we're trying to project the idea that the, conservation does not have ready remedies, does not have recipes. You have to look at individual cases, and you've got to try to come up with individual solutions. In fact, a good part of the course is being held at the old parish church of Sijiwi, which is a lovely, wonderful site, which was restored by the Restoration Directorate in 2006. And with the great help also of the Restoration Directorate, we are working with the students at, first of all, understanding the site, understanding its problems, and trying to think of possible solutions to the problems which we are actually seeing on site.
Well, let me pass on to the students now, give the word to the students. Alexandra, what made you apply, really? You wrote your half page, and I'm sure you convinced then the organizers.
Because my A-level subjects are chemistry and art, and I've been aspiring to become a conservator since Form 3. So this project, I think, was perfect for me, and I sent in the write-up saying exactly kind of these words. And, well, also I was curious what site they were going to choose. I wanted to see if it was like part of the bastions or a tower or something, and it turned out to this church, which is really diamond in the rough, because I had no idea it existed. So it's like opened my eyes more to problems we have in Malta and stuff like that.
So this must have really, I mean, it fits you like a glove, obviously, this particular project, but and it really fell out of the sky. I mean,
yes,
to have that
no
to be your SOK is really a good idea. And what do you feel you've got something out of it? You've got out of it what you wanted to get out of it?
Yes, because now I'm sure that I want to continue, and I'm kind of, because of this subject, this project, I can choose which subject I want to go and conserve in, you know, because there's a lot of different areas. There's like art and stone, and you know, it helped me a lot.
So it gave you a chance to get to know what are the different areas of conservation.
Yes.
That's great. About the site work, Yasmin, we've mentioned already the old church in Siji, which is an amazing place. I recommend people to go and see it. It's not open to the public in general, I think, Professor.
It is open on demand. You can actually make a request to there's a keeper who lives close by, and the parish priest of Sijiwi, I must mention, has been extremely, extremely helpful. And they do wish to open it to the public, but it's on request.
Of course, it's an onerous task opening something to the general public, because obviously you have to have somebody there all the time.
Yes.
And you know,
one thing I'd like to mention is that the students are also going to be preparing promotional material for the church, which it severely lacks. So they're going to prepare an information panel and a little booklet to give out to visitors.
Yasmin, perhaps you can describe the site to us a bit.
Well, this course was divided into, we had some lectures and some on-site, sessions on-site. And the lectures, we talked about deterioration and conservation and stuff about stone and even the history of the of Old Parish Church. And then we had on-site. First meeting, we had more, we socialized, you know, we get to know each other, because basically I only knew three of the students that took part in this project. Then we learned about the history of the place. Norbert Gott and Paul Saliba came to talk to us, and And then we had other sessions on site, and we talked about deterioration and conservation. And
the site itself has been restored already. Perhaps you could describe what you find when you go through that door. What do you actually find when you walk when you walk onto the site?
Well, you find trees on both sides. There's a path, and you find trees, lemon trees, and prickly pears as well. Then you find the church. There's a what is Latin
cross church.
Latin cross church. It's a ruined church. I mean, it don't have a ceiling.
No.
So it's completely ruined, but it's very nice. There's an arch, and there was frescoes before, but then they were taken so that they will not be damaged more.
That's an interesting. we could have a whole program about that comment. What else is in the church? I think if I remember rightly, there's some stone decorative work there.
The altars, and in total there are 7 altars. So every altar has the decoration, angels, and.
And what other buildings are there within the site itself? Just this church, or is there something else?
No, it's just, before there were 2 churches, but then they were put together and formed a big church.
Mm-hmm. When you went on the site to look at the various conservation issues, what did you find? What did you actually have to negotiate as far as issues are concerned? What, stonework, deterioration of stone, was there anything else that you had to look at?
Well, we take the materials that they were, the stone and the plaster and the mortars. So then we looked at the deterioration of the site, the types, the way that the stone deteriorates. There are lots of types, like vegetation, back weathering, alveolar, and then after we looked into deterioration, then we have to conserve. You know, you have to see how to make the building look better and to conserve it so that it will stay longer.
Brendan, perhaps you could tell us some of the skills that you learned that were clearly not only about conservation.
Because first of all, I learned significantly much about conservation itself. I learned about the different aspects of, for example, decay, different methods that are used to improve the condition of the building, and also learned, you know, about the principles of conservation. For example, it's very important to not try to replicate the site itself, and it's very important to keep it as you found it. You try to freeze the building and not to replicate something that was already done. And I learned significantly, as I said, much about the conservation. But also, furthermore, more importantly, I also learned about the philosophical aspect of the conservation and the question, why conservation? Why is it important? And I learned that it is important because by preserving conservation, not only preserving the aesthetics and this beautiful and this right to preserve it, but by preserving cultural heritage, you end up preserving also the national identity in this case. And by preserving past buildings, you also get to know more about the methods of how, you know, our ancestors lived, their routines and what they did, their mentality, and you learn more about your own past.
That is an important aspect of of history in general, obviously.
Indeed.
Understanding the identity, the Maltese identity, where we got our influences from, and who these people were, and how they actually worked.
Exactly.
On a personal basis, I think it was Yasmin who said, "I only knew 3 people on the course." The accent seems to be about group work. Did you find that the course was beneficial from that point of view?
Yes, indeed. It encouraged a lot of teamwork to flourish, and by the group work, it worked very well indeed. And I also met a lot of people and made many new friends, and they are good friends by now too. So it was beneficial.
Very good. And when you go abroad now, which I'm sure you will do in your travels, do you think that you'll remember when you go around to the various places that you visit, you'll remember the words of Professor Kassar her colleagues?
Yes, I have learned much, and certainly I would appreciate more built heritage from anyone.
Definitely. Returning to you, Professor, the partners in this enterprise, did they all have the same aims and also methodology, or did they go about this in a different way?
Well, the aims are the same. The aims are to raise awareness in cultural heritage and its conservation. We were trying to, and we do have one common framework for the course, but what we're trying to do is try to adapt to the audience. What happened in Israel and in Athens was that the students came from a primarily scientific background. So there was more emphasis on the science. There was more emphasis on the conservation science techniques, more emphasis on instrumentation and interpretation of results. In Malta, we wanted to emphasize the multidisciplinarity of conservation. So we did not say, okay, you have to have a science background or you have to have an arts background. We just kept it open to everybody. And when we asked the students to tell us what subjects they were studying, there was the whole gamut. There was everything from history to art to chemistry to biology. There was everything. We said, good, this is the time when we can emphasize this multidisciplinarity. So we did not give an overemphasis to the science. In fact, we cut down a lot on the science. And I think the students were pretty flabbergasted when we tried to give more emphasis to the science. So we backed down and we said, no, let's make it a fun thing. Let's make it something which they will enjoy doing, but will understand that everybody has a role. The chemist has a role, so has the architect, so has the biologist, but so has the art historian. So we are trying to emphasize this, that everybody has a part to play. And depending on your background and depending on how willing you are to work as a team, and hence the teamwork, you can actually form a part of this wonderful world, which is conservation. And I hope that is the message which is coming across.
What about the results of this? I mean, I hate to talk about results because obviously we've been saying that we're talking about this not in terms of results, but also but mainly in terms of developing a philosophy among young people in the hope that they will then spread this philosophy to other people, to their peers, and also to their families and their friends. However, will the results of this enterprise be placed on a website? Will there be any kind of measurement of what has been done?
Yes. Well, one thing which we are aware of is that it will be very difficult to run this course again. So I tell the students that they are our guinea pigs. We are trying to see if it works and how it works. At the end of the day, the products, the results, are going to be on the website. There's going to be an e-learning part of the website, which any teacher who knows a little bit about cultural heritage and is willing to run this course again in the future will have the support of the website, where all this material is being collected, all the quizzes, all the games, all the lectures, all the interviews, all the written material are being loaded up. That is the task of the Technion, onto the website, which will be available to primarily teachers who want to run this course again. We will be supporting them from a distance, but we are very happy if not only teachers, for example, in systems of knowledge, but even NGOs, for example, can take up this and create awareness among the youth using these products which we are producing with the help, obviously, of these students.
In fact, this is the famous toolkit, which is a lovely buzzword of EU projects, that enables other people to be able to benefit from what you have been working on.
Yes, that's the idea. And we really, we are now at a point where we are going to actually have a special course at the end of the of this year, which is going to be run in Venice. And this is going to be for stakeholders and for decision makers, where we are going to try to recruit now these decision makers to help promote and push this course and use it maybe in curricula, maybe as a voluntary thing, but to use it when they are thinking of cultural heritage awareness. And this is going to be in September, actually, in Venice, where we will be inviting also Maltese decision makers.
I can imagine that a course like that would fit in nicely with what has been discussed recently about cultural tourism, because that could be something of interest. It could be a course that an NGO could be organizing with your toolkit and actually offering it to youth groups, say, in UK, who might come over for a holiday and actually learn these skills here in Malta.
Yes, it can be used that way, although cultural tourism, I think, needs to be taken with a pinch of salt. But also, it's going to be hopefully adaptable enough to be used by people in their own countries. So although we are talking about the stone problems in a particular church in Malta, the background, the tools you need to actually approach a building are going to be there. Now, it can be a granite building in Scotland or a sandstone building in Italy, but the tools are not specific to a climate, although we are trying to give the Mediterranean emphasis. This is a EuroMed project. It's a EuroMed heritage project, which is trying to also talk about and promote collaboration and dialogue in the Mediterranean. So it has a Mediterranean emphasis. But with a bit of thought and with a bit of adaptation, it should be able to be used in other countries, even outside, although, as I said, it is being aimed at the Mediterranean.
And it is really trying to promote this, what they call on the website, innovative educational approach.
Yes.
Because even the way it's being done, the sort of the hands-on idea,
yes.
This is something that I think young people would go for,
yes,
really.
Yes, we're trying to make it interesting. Cultural heritage is interesting. I mean, many people go abroad just for cultural heritage reasons. So we don't see any reason why the conservation of cultural heritage shouldn't also be interesting. And so we're trying to promote it, and I hope maybe the students can tell us whether they are finding it interesting.
Yes, well, obviously we have here a budding conservationist, so she's definitely, Alexandra, going to tell us that it was a success, I suppose. And what do you think?
Yes, it was a success because it's not that boring. I mean, I do understand chemistry, but the chemistry that you had was easy. I mean, I understood it immediately, although I do have it. And the slideshows were fun. You know, they were innovative and you could understand easily what you were portraying, the idea. And yes, it was interesting.
What about you, Yasmin?
Well, I don't have chemistry. I have math and physics, but I find it interesting because I like heritage. I love it a lot, so it's very interesting.
And you, Brendan?
Well, what I actually study is fairly distant from conservation, because I actually aimed to study further in computing. But I actually chose it because I like to learn more about history, you know, and I found the cultural heritage to be a very intriguing topic, and I learned a lot too.
I'm sure that when you get to your final year project, which I'm sure you will do at the end of the day, perhaps you'll remember your cultural heritage background, and perhaps you'll incorporate your IT with a conservation issue. I mean, that I'm sure that will be a possibility. What do you say, Professor?
Yes, actually, IT is something which is being used much more and more and more in cultural heritage awareness, so going from virtual reality to wherever you like. And I think it's important that we do have quite a few students who do have IT, either as a subject now in the junior college or hoping to study further IT, because we do need these people in the promotion of cultural heritage. They are the ones who can give us the products which are appealing to certain age groups. I mean, they are on the web all the time. I mean, we've set up a Facebook account for the students, and they're there all the time. And we know everything about them now and what they're doing and where they've gone and what football matches they've seen. So, yes, if we do not keep up to date with these things, then we are going to be left behind. So people like Brandon are very important if they can help us in this promotion of cultural heritage.
And having a Facebook page, again, this is sort of very topical at the moment, it does help in a way to make the cultural heritage part of their existence, part of their lives, really.
Yes, well, actually, we started a bit late because students kept on asking us, when are you going to share out the photographs, for example? We're taking a lot of photographs on site, and they were quite keen to share the photographs. So we started a bit late. Obviously, we had to learn how to use Facebook. we think it's a good idea also for this sharing, because not only do we put our photographs there, but we hope that the students will put their own photographs, the ones they took on site, so that we can share them and everybody can share them. And then when they come to write up their project, they can have material available, which is not just their own creation, but the creation also of their colleagues.
In fact, this is going to end up as their SOK
project,
really. I mean, that is that was the aim of the
yes.
of the exercise.
Well, I hope so. I hope they're not keeping away from it.
That's what you're working
yes.
on at the moment.
Yes, writing mm-hmm. this off.
Well, I'd like to thank, first of all, Professor Joanne Kassar, and then the students, Alexandra, Camilleri, Yasmin Amri, and Brendan Zammit, for coming to talk to us on University Matters today about this absolutely fascinating project, which I'm sure will go much, much further than this. I'm sure it will have a ripple effect. Thank you very much,
thank
all
you.
Of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.